Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms. When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. On the radio from 1 till 4, and the John and Ken on demand podcast posted after 4 o'clock on the iHeart app so you can catch up.
Yeah, we'll be playing Moistline calls tomorrow during the 3 o'clock hour, so we're still collecting some messages. Use the iHeartRadio app to leave a message. That's the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. This chapter in the criminal justice system in California, remarkably, is not coming from LA County. It's coming from San Bernardino County. We're going to talk to a former San Bernardino County Sheriff's Deputy by the name of Megan McCarthy, who was attacked when she was a Sheriff's Deputy back in 2019 by a man who apparently was a schizophrenic. This happened in Victorville. And the reason she's telling her story is she can't believe he was pretty much found not guilty of everything related to this horrible day. Apparently, all they found him guilty was negligent discharge of a firearm. That apparently was Megan McCarthy's gun.
This is really a bizarre, disturbing story. We're going to get Megan on now to tell it. Megan, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How about you guys?
We're good.
Oh, we're good.
It's hard to believe what happened to you when you were attacked, and it's hard to believe the outcome in court. Can you take us through what happened the day you encountered this Ari Young, is his name?
Yeah, so it is very heartbreaking. I will just preface with that. It's a very sad day, not just for law enforcement, but for people that unfortunately in their lives will become a victim of crime. So I woke up that morning. I went to work. I responded to a 911 call for service. It was a mom calling about her son. All we heard on the phone through dispatch was, oh my God, get my son out of here. And then the line kind of goes dead. She's not responding to dispatch, which prompts what we call a priority one response, which is somebody needs to get there right now. I happen to be closest in the area, so I respond. And I park my patrol unit, and I start walking up the driveway. I get maybe 3 yards, actually, up the driveway. And I see the front door of the house open, and out comes a suspect, and he's walking directly towards me. And right behind him is his mom, still on the phone with 911, and she's holding a knife in her hand. So he walks directly towards me, and I can tell that he's angry. You know, he has his fist clenched. He's not somebody that looks like they want to have a conversation with me. So, you know, I'm going to try and stay away from all the, you know, cop talk. But what we go off of for our training is you base on the totality of the circumstances with what you have at the time. So based on this 911 call, the mom's asking for help. I get there. She's in such fear. She's holding a knife, protecting herself from her own son. My attention goes to him. So I go and I'm trying to talk to him. What's going on? Relax. What's going on? And I go to conduct a pat-down search of his pockets to make sure there's no weapons, make sure there's nothing that could potentially harm his mom or me or even him. So right when I go, the way we conduct detentions and pat-down searches is you place the hands at the small of the back, just, you know, control the situation. As soon as I do that, it just triggers them, sets them off. I go through all the motions of, you know, verbal commands, relax, stop fighting, relax. And he tells me 13 seconds into our contact, I will headbutt the, you know, expletive out of you. So I know this isn't somebody that really wants to comply. And right after he says that, he tells me, if we fight, I will kill you. And I kind of step off, not directly behind his head, just in case he's trying to headbutt me. He grabs my wrist and will not let go. We fought for a good minute and a half before that video kicks on. And we end up fighting to the point where I know I'm getting overpowered. So I actually tried to use verbal commands, defensive tactic techniques. Nothing was working. I went to my baton, tried to use that. He grabbed it from me and threw it. Now is when the video actually kicks in. He grabs my hair, tries to pull me down and knee me. And then you see in the video, he's punching me over and over and over again. And I know I'm losing that fight. I know that I have no other option but to save my life. And that's when I give him, you know, the commands, I'm going to shoot you, hoping that last-ditch effort to get him to stop. And, you know, we fall on the ground. He mounts me. I try and take aim at his head and I miss. And then my gun ends up above my head with his hand and mine in the trigger guard. We discharge a round, and by the grace of God, he takes the gun from me and it malfunctions when it's pointed at my forehead.
Wow.
Oh, geez. Then I turn and I run, trying to find cover, you know, some protection, and I hear another gunshot go off, and I know he's firing at me as I'm running away. Then you see my partners arrive, and they have the scene after that.
What did they do, shoot him?
Yeah, so he takes his attention from me, and he starts walking down the cul-de-sac, and he actually, you can hear it in the video, but he actually fires a round as my partners are arriving, and they give him commands, drop the gun, and then they engage in, you know, they fire rounds back and forth, and they end up taking him in custody, and he's taken to a hospital for his injuries.
Did you try to cuff him when you originally were having a problem with them, or it just wasn't time for that?
No, and that's the thing that I think is very, very important to talk about. So obviously it's not the public's job to worry about procedural stuff with law enforcement. That's why me and millions of others sign up to do this job. But I never mentioned he was under arrest. I actually had a lower standard of just reasonable suspicion to believe something had occurred or was occurring. So I never tried to place him in handcuffs. I never said he was under arrest. I was just simply making sure that his mom, me, and him were safe, and then I was going to figure out why I was even there. So after all of this, I still never even knew why I was called there.
Yeah, and she had the knife, which you saw, so clearly he didn't have the weapon. You didn't find a weapon on him, so that's how you were trying to deal with this. But
so
talk about the charges against him and the whole trial situation.
Yeah, so I believe there was 6 charges that were filed by the district attorney against him, and the main ones that he was acquitted of was attempt murder on a police officer, assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer, and it obviously I'm not a lawyer. I do not speak on behalf of that, but as somebody who, you know, went through extensive training to protect the justice system, I don't understand how those elements didn't matter for me.
What was the defense argument about attempted murder and assault on a police officer with a firearm? I mean, you said he had the gun right at your forehead and it malfunctioned. And then later, when you dove behind the bush, he was still firing at you. So where is the defense?
Well, my perception of his argument and what he has stated was, I did not do my job right. So the suspect had every right to assault me and try and kill me because I didn't do my job.
Yeah, so, I see a quote here that if you want to detain somebody, you have to have a reasonable suspicion that they engaged in criminal activity. So the defense attorney was telling the jury that you didn't have that and that you kind of started this, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, in so many words, he basically painted a picture like, I failed to do my job, so he had every right to conduct those actions after the fact. He was in self-defense of me. When I never punched him, I never tried to arrest him, I never tried to escalate the situation to anything other than trying to investigate. And, you know, I think that's another thing that we can probably do a better job of educating people is the actual standards set by, you know, police officer guidelines, that is what a detention is there for. And I think somehow, some way that got misconstrued during trial and it worked.
Who's on this jury? People susceptible to this idea that cops are violent and evil and
they illegally detain people?
You were the problem that day?
You know, I never want to assume what somebody thinks, but when I sat up there for 3 days being cross-examined, that was the picture that I was seeing being painted, was law enforcement is not allowed to be a victim of something. You know, law enforcement can't be assaulted to the point where you could bruise and break someone's face. And if you are under the belief, not by the law, that somebody didn't do their job right, you can shoot and kill them, especially a law enforcement officer. Like, how can we even set that precedent? How can you even tell people that?
What, did the schizophrenia enter into this with the jury, that he had schizophrenia?
Well, just on my knowledge, I had never heard that before. The schizophrenia was something that I read yesterday. If that was introduced at court, I never heard it. I was only there for my testimony because I wasn't allowed to be there for others. So, you know, I can't speak on that. I just can speak on what I know.
I don't understand what you were supposed to do differently, though.
Yeah, I love your quote because in the story. I was called to the house. I saw a situation. There's a woman in fear for her life. She's armed with a knife. I have every right to believe that maybe he has a weapon. Yeah, I don't see what you did wrong.
You were
here
trying to see if he had a weapon. He was agitated. He was angry with you. He was angry with his mother. He was clearly capable of blowing. And if he had a weapon on him, somebody was going to get hurt or killed. So you had to first find out if he had a weapon. And then you go from there. I have no idea what that jury was thinking. Yeah, to me, and I'm no expert on police procedure, you did exactly what I would hope you would do if I was that mother.
And that was exactly what I thought, too. I thought, you know, I met somebody at the worst day of their life, and by the grace of God, a malfunction saved my life. But there was no time in any of these 3 years and 9 months I've been battling this, you know, reliving nightmare where I ever stopped and thought, man, I did my job wrong. I know that I did exactly what it's the police officer standards and training. That is what they teach you. When I went to patrol, that is what they teach you. I would be derelict in my duties if I didn't do that, because for my perception, when I arrive and his own mom is standing there holding a knife and she's calling about him, my reasonable suspicion is that he has done something to her that she has had to arm herself. That's why you call the cops.
No, that's entirely reasonable. And you have to make a decision in a split second. And you didn't hurt him. And
exactly.
There was nobody hurt here.
No, I never pinched him. I mean, I tried to defend myself after the fact, but I never did anything that escalated to that point.
Wow.
At all.
Final question. Is this why you're a former deputy, or was this ordeal too much? Did you step away, or what happened?
Well, I was medically retired March of last year for PTSD. So it was a bit of a battle that I had with the doctors that recommended I was not fit for duty anymore. Mental health in first responders is very real. It's something that I'm very passionate about advocating for because it's kind of taboo in our line of work. And, right. You know, there was a great part of me that did not want to let this go. I loved my job. I woke up that day trying to do my job, and the fact that it was taken from me has always been very hard to accept. But I know that day scarred me to the point of no return. I can't be a cop anymore. And that's okay because I lived that day.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And believe me, everything we've seen and heard, you were doing your job that day. And thank God you're alive.
Thank you for coming
on. Thank you so much.
All right, that's former San Bernardino County Sheriff's Deputy Megan McCarthy telling her story of an ordeal she had with apparently a mentally ill man during a domestic violence call back in 2019, where she could have been shot to death. And the shocker is he basically wasn't found guilty of anything.
Yeah, the anti-police virus has infected enough people now that you can get a jury to let him go after firing at a police officer and nearly blowing her head off.
Yeah, she said the gun malfunctioned, see, thank God.
That's what all this rhetoric does. All the sloganeering, all this media
defense
coverage.
Lawyers use it. Oh, yeah. She wasn't doing her job that day.
By the way, the evil defense lawyer, Raj Maline, R-A-J-M-A-L-I-N-E. Well, good
he
work.
He got to this jury.
Wow.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the air from 1 till 4 after 4, the podcast, John and Ken on Demand.
Now, we should add this. We just talked to a woman by the name of Megan McCarthy. She was a San Bernardino County Sheriff's Deputy back in 2019 when she, and these are always awful, these domestic violence calls. There's a mother holding a knife and her crazy son coming outside the house. And as you heard Megan's story, eventually they struggled and he actually got her gun. And thank God it malfunctioned or she could be dead. The story finally came to trial, and he was basically, this is the update. They hung on three charges: battery against a peace officer, removal of an officer's sidearm, and resisting arrest. That would at least be something. They only found guilty of negligent discharge of a firearm.
Right.
So I just wanted to add this first. There is a pretrial hearing June 30th. They may be coming back with those charges against him. This is not over. It was just a hung jury.
He should have gotten the attempted murder conviction, though.
They did. They found him not guilty of attempted murder and assault with a firearm on a peace officer.
I think this is a very, very bad sign on how this anti-police virus has infected everyone.
Yeah, and defense attorneys will use it.
Because I didn't hear anything in this story that made the guy, his name is Ari Young, sympathetic. He seemed angry. Scary,
except
aggressive.
He's got schizophrenia, which some people feel sympathetic.
Who cares? Who cares?
I said some people, not you.
Some idiots, some foolish people. Well, really, that's just that is just a device people use to excuse bad behavior and keep people from going to prison. Whatever your reason for acting out is, you're acting out violently. You have to be put away. You have to be locked up because you're dangerous. And then, you know, let all the experts fight out what the cause is. I have no interest in what the cause is. He pointed a gun at her forehead and pulled the trigger.
And
what else do you need to know?
I noticed, too, her reaction, Megan, when I said, did you cuff him? And she's saying, well, that's the thing. They're trying to say I didn't do my job because I didn't have reasonable suspicion. And because she didn't cuff him, well, that would indicate that. Because that's the first thing I thought of. Control his hands because this could get ugly, and it did. But the defense lawyer is trying to tell the jury. Okay. She gets there, and the mother's holding a knife, and he's just coming out of the house, and he's angry, but he's unarmed. Why is she acting like he's a suspect or something?
You know what? And that is emotional manipulation of people who are ready to be manipulated because they have a bias against police. So he, what he does is he figures out, okay, and I don't know what kind of profiling he did in his head, because you know all the attorneys do. They look at these people and they look at all the components and decide, okay, I think I know what kind of jury I got. I think I know what they're going to be susceptible to. And he decided they're susceptible to an anti-cop argument that she was the aggressor, that she was the violent one. And it actually flipped the case. That's fascinating. That people are that foolish and stupid to fall for that.
The defense attorney, we've talked about him, Mirage Maleen, said, oh, well, if you look at the video, and again, in case we didn't talk about this, a neighbor did shoot video of this, not all of what happened, but got there with a struggle over the gun. He said, oh, it looks bad when you look at it at first glance, the video. But when he fired the gun, if you don't ever look at it again or don't study it, it looks like my client is shooting at the deputy.
Because
she ran towards a bush. It was not in the direction that he fired the gun. We know exactly where she went, which was due south. And we know where he fired because there's a bullet hole in the garage, which shows he fired, which is northeast. So you see,
so he
completely opposite of her direction.
He completely confused the jury. This must have really been a bag of vegetables. I mean, this really was
mixed vegetables. It sounds like.
The part really. Yes, he shot at her, but he pulled the trigger with the gun at her forehead. What else do you need to know? I don't know if the prosecution was off its game here. I don't know how you did not win this case. I don't know how he ends up walking away with one light charge against him. It's astonishing.
Maybe not. Like I said, hung jury, they may try him on those three charges. Yeah, but you're right, the attempted murder charge is off the table.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Because you probably don't get much time in jail, and he's still going to come out with the schizophrenia. And you know that's not going to be treated.
America's mental illness. Got to love it. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere. It's the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I think I'm going to sneeze. We're on the air till 4. And then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app for the John and Ken on demand podcast.
Perfect. Because Mayor Bassetti tested positive for COVID. You might have it too. Have you been with her?
Excuse me?
Did you attend in a function? A super spreader? No.
Do you know what cracked me up about her announcement? She said it after a routine test. That's like a routine test.
Because she's always mingling with the public. She's at risk.
There's still routine tests going on.
For
really?
Some people and very sensitive and
year 4. It's the fourth year of this, and she's stick up the nose. What, every week? Twice a week?
I'm undecided whether or not come September, if I get a flu shot, I'm going to get another COVID booster.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, well, those boosters aren't doing much, are they?
Well, they're all worn off. The last one I had is many months, like 9 months ago, so it probably doesn't do any help. I don't know what her last booster was, but again, though, a booster doesn't stop you from getting COVID, John Cobell. It just makes the symptoms and the illness less severe.
It should.
You always acted like this is Superman. It bounces off you.
Well, the other vaccines, right? You know anybody who's had mumps or diphtheria?
You may have just gotten a very mild mumps. I don't know. didn't even know you had it.
All those other diseases we got shot up for. Polio? You don't see anybody with polio these days, do you?
Probably not the same kind of infection, but
I don't know. These vaccines were half-assed, apparently.
Because it is more like the flu, and you know the flu vaccine is sometimes
Yeah, that never
difficult.
Worked.
That doesn't always. The El Segundo Times did a story which is fascinating and incredibly long. It's about ATM fraud, and basically what it is, it's people who are ripping off the food stamp cards. I'm still going to call them food stamps.
Mm-hmm. That's
but these
what they
are. They're called, you ever drive past a fast food restaurant, there's usually a big sign on the window, we accept EBT, electronic benefit transfer cards. That's the food stamps. That's how they've been for years now. They use cards. But the problem with these cards, and if you have regular credit cards, you may understand, there's no chip in the state EBT cards for food stamp recipients. And without the chip, somebody with the skimmer can pick up your data information, make up a phony card, go to the bank on EBT day, and withdraw money. And the real catch in this story is they're coming from Romania to do it. I am not kidding you. Apparently, a lot of people, I'm not going to say a lot by making you think it's millions, but a number of Romanians have come to California because they learned this is an easy way to make some money by ripping off the EBT cards at the ATMs. The story centers around a man by the name of Virgil Negru, who is a politician. See, doesn't that make sense?
Did you see his mugshot?
I did see his mugshot. He's a grim-looking guy.
But his head is a perfect rectangle. It looks like it got squeezed in a vise.
Yeah, and he's got quite the beard and the face.
And the beady eyes. And those beady eyes are really close together.
He looks like a murderer, but he's not accused of murder.
I don't think there's a lot of genetic diversity in his village.
He's on the Afori City Council in Romania. Afori, Romania, population about 11,000. Uh-huh. He's on the city council. They haven't seen him for months. They're wondering where he went.
Well, he made a big...
He's in jail.
He went to Hollywood and made it big. Stealing food stamp cards. Wow.
Yeah, he's in jail. He has spent the last 69 days in custody in Ventura County's main jail because he's been stealing cash meant for low-income Californians. On April 1st, Simi Valley police staked out an ATM and they arrested him. He possessed forged cards loaded with taxpayer funds. He's among dozens of Romanian citizens who have come to the region to steal cash and food stamp benefits.
So this is like a mob?
So word gets around, yeah.
A mob of Romanians?
California, they're really stupid out there. You can easily skim the cop. I sound like Schwarzenegger, but
he's they're right. We are really stupid out here. They didn't travel to the other 49 states for this racket, did they?
No, California's lost more than $86 million in stolen food stamps and cash aid in the last year.
Look at this. This line. This sums up California. The Romanians are lured by the large number of people on public assistance. Yeah, we got 1/3 of the country's welfare cases and weak security on the cards.
Since last spring, at least 60 people, nearly all of them with connections to Romania, have been arrested or charged on suspicion of theft involving the forged EBT cards. Yeah, what John's talking about, we need to really spend a lot of time on because this is our tax money. So further on down in the story, they finally talked to one of these government hacks about why the cards haven't been chipped. And he does this dance that is very complicated. It's really complicated.
It's not complicated. Pull out your Visa card and your American Express. Pull out your Bank of America debit card.
His name is Jason Montiel.
They all got chips.
Jason Montiel, a spokesperson for the agency, said there's not a specific timeline of when we're going to implement cards with chip technology.
We don't care.
The department is actively working to develop and deploy the use of chip and tap technologies on EBT cards, but it's complex technological changes required to get it done.
No.
Really?
You're right.
All the credit card companies do it.
Yeah, and all the banks do it. All the debit cards have them now.
The debit cards from the major banks, right?
Right. And all the credit cards from all the banks have it, and the chips have been around for years now. So he's full of crap. It's not complicated. You just have to sign the contract and they'll start manufacturing the cards. The banks and the credit card companies produce billions of these cards. Billions of them. What the hell is he talking about?
And now this next paragraph. In the meantime, local and federal authorities continue to make arrests, although some say the arrests have been a weak deterrent. Those facing state charges have usually been released on bail on their own recognizance, and often they just disappear.
They go back to Romania with a big load of money.
They're taking advantage of our awfully weak food stamp card program, right, to steal the money, and then they're taking advantage of our weak criminal justice system to just, I'll be back, sure. I'll come back to court to face, and they're gone.
Isn't this the fourth ripoff story we've had in the last year or so? Of the California government.
Right, the unemployment money.
And what was the one we had earlier this week?
The community college financial aid.
And then
I don't know if those are Romanians or who's doing that. But.
Why just Romanians? Where are the Croatians?
By the way, John, people back in Romania describe him as a decent politician.
Of course he's a politician. He steals tax money.
I guess
he ran out of Romanian tax money to steal, so he came here.
Laco Miorora Viru, who owns a grocery store near the city hall, said he's on the people's side. One customer remembered Negru helping her get central heating delivered to her social housing block. Social housing. Yeah. Is Romania one of these kind of countries that believes in the socialist government policies?
I don't know. It's an Eastern European country.
I know, but I don't know much about how they tax and spend and...
I don't know anything about Romania.
But if there's social housing, we just heard that social housing means government housing.
You know, they have another story about arresting a group of these Romanian men who said they were all from Transylvania.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God, a group of vampires.
were trying to dodge their origins? Or?
I didn't know as a kid that Transylvania was a real place.
Yeah,
it does
exist. Right.
I thought that was just the home for the fictional vampires. I didn't know that. That's a real location.
Yeah. So it said, and by the way, apparently he was riding around town in a new Audi.
Come to America. We're really real. Our government is so stupid. Our bureaucrats are so stupid. You could walk away with millions of dollars. Not even trying.
Well, wow. Because they can't. It points out how much our government is always so far behind. Can't get a chip into a card. Remember, we found out years ago that DMV didn't even take credit cards.
Because they do nothing all day. They do nothing. They just sit at their stupid desks and probably watch porno all day with their pants around their ankles.
And then they'll always say, we need more funding. Give us more money.
Yeah, they're full of it. They're their own kind of scam artists. I mean, this guy, at least he traveled halfway around the world from Romania, right? He's got a network of other Romanians. They figured out how to work the ATM card scam. They're running back home with thousands and thousands of dollars. Our guys just sit there and rip us off. They get fat paychecks, six figures, lots of benefits, health care, and they do nothing but give away our tax money to thieves and fraudsters.
All right, we'll be right back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, the best way to describe him is this person that constantly is crying for attention. Coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, we'll be at the Gavin Newsom is not running for president desk. He made news this morning because he wants to add an amendment to the Constitution.
His own amendment.
Got his own idea for an amendment.
I thought that story this morning was a gag. I really did. I go, this can't be.
The 28th Amendment.
I am proposing the 28th Amendment. What do you mean you're proposing? To who? What's your standing to propose an amendment?
He's already run out of juice on the migrant flight story.
Yeah,
Before that, the abortion story. So now he's turning to the gun story again.
You notice how he's jumped off that train?
Yeah, because that's a dead end.
Yeah, because
that's a derailment.
Once DeSantis showed the paperwork in the video, suddenly there aren't kidnapping charges. I'm waiting for the kidnapping charges. I mean, it's been, 4 days now? We should have kidnapping charges on DeSantis.
Well, he went on the Today Show today to still talk about perhaps some charges.
All right, here's the thing. He seems to, I wonder if he gets insider information. He's acting like he knows Biden's going down. That something bad's going to happen with Biden.
Oh, because he's positioning himself?
Yeah, he's actively positioning himself. He's the only Democrat in the news every day. Every day is a new hot-button issue that has nothing to do with California, right? Abortion has nothing to do with us, right? And the migrant flights were very minor. And now suddenly his 28th Amendment?
Right, he's focusing on the shootings that have been going on. It's
right
outside of California, but he's trying to make a case nationally he's going to do something different.
None of it has to do with daily California business or the top 10 major California issues that he's
He doesn't have any interest in being governor anymore.
Right. Exactly.
And he's got a huge war chest of money.
Right. So he's not interested. So every day he's in the news with a national issue, and this is not an election cycle for him if Biden really is running. It's not. The only way Biden doesn't get the nomination is if he drops out of the race or he has some serious physical or mental collapse. So what does he know about Biden? Why is he in place ready to jump on his corpse?
All right, we'll get to that after the news at 3 o'clock. We're now going to talk about this attack at a park in France. Quite a story this morning. If you have seen the video, a 31-year-old guy described as a Syrian asylum seeker went into a park in the French Alps and started stabbing people, including babies. We have 4 children and 2 adults who were stabbed. All 4 children were under the age of 5 and are considered in very serious condition. One adult has suffered also life-threatening injuries. The motive, they're still trying to figure out, but we've learned a few things about this attacker, a Syrian national who got refugee status in Sweden 10 years ago and did come into France legally. His name is Abdelmassih H. I guess his last name is just being used as an H. He was found with Swedish identity documents and a Swedish driving license. Earlier this month, his demand for asylum in France was rejected. So that may have been one of the things that set him off.
Why did he need asylum from Sweden?
No, in France.
No, but why? But he was in Sweden. Why did he have to leave Sweden?
I don't know why he had to leave Sweden for France and then to request asylum in France from Sweden. I don't know.
I've read they've not been real welcoming to the refugees.
Who?
The Scandinavian countries.
Oh, he also made asylum requests in Switzerland and Italy. So this is about never being sent back to Syria? Is that what it really is? If you get asylum, you have more permanent status, I guess?
I don't know.
He is married to a Swedish woman.
Yeah, it seems like...
But they separated 8 months ago, and his wife has not heard from him about half the time, are reports.
Yeah, it just
they were studying together to be nurses.
It's probably just a nut.
He had certain Christian religious insignia on him, and apparently he was yelling out Jesus Christ's name as he walked around with his knife.
All right, just a crazy person.
Yeah, he shouted on name of Jesus Christ as he waved the knife in the air. You can see people trying to corral him in, but they're keeping their distance because he's got a pretty sharp knife, so they're not sure what to do.
Got it.
One adult attempted to stop the attacker, waving his backpack toward him as he was threatened with the weapon. He got near a woman and a child, and there was screaming, and everybody was running, and it was a pretty wild scene in France today with this wild attacker. All right, when we come back, we'll be at the Gavin Newsom maybe, or is thinking about running for president desk. He made another move today to get attention. He wants the 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
You know, next week, he'll be taking off his clothes.
You think that'll draw a crowd?
If he wants attention so badly, eventually people are going to stop covering him. He's blowing through the hot button issues too rapidly here.
All right. Johnny Kent Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.